Against my better judgment, darlings, I tuned into Tiger King. Netflix got me. They got me, girls. They kept advertising and advertising and advertising. And because I studied performance studies and the doing of things and the performance of media and commercialism and capitalism, I knew, like, okay, the advertising is advertising this to me because Joe Exotic is gay. It can tell from what the system, Netflix, can tell. The algorithm knows from what I watch that I am gay, right? Paris is Burning, Pose, the Queen documentary, not the white European Queen, the Queen documentary about gay pageants in the 60s, which if you haven't watched, please do. It contains the fabulous original Crystal LaBeija, starting the fight. The impetus of ball culture comes from a fight at the end of that documentary. Netflix knows that I'm gay from what I watch. And so they were targeting me for that thing, and I love to watch, I used to love to watch Forensic Files all the time. So it could tell, okay, you like Forensic Files, you like gay stuff, here, watch Tiger King. Tiger King is a lot of people hate it. Like, I saw that Leslie Jones, right? The black comic, black female comic on Saturday Night Live. Is it Leslie Jones? I gotta look it up real quick. She always has those bug eyes. What is her name? Allergies, not COVID. Yes, Leslie Jones, that was right. She's gorgeous, but she can do that bug eye thing. Leslie Jones said, she's not watching that Tiger King shit, she said, quoting her on Instagram, I loved it because it is a beautiful, perfect encapsulation of toxic white masculinity and white privilege. All of the people in that documentary are trash except for the workers. And some of them can't even be called workers because that Carol Baskin bitch has people working for free. They're volunteers and they put in 80 hours a week. They're psychotic. Joe Exotic was paying his people $100 a week and they were living in rat, maggot infested places, giving them expired meat from Walmart to eat. And they quote unquote, the guy passing himself off as a doctor who has a doctorate in mystical science. What is that? Who, girl, please. Bye. He's having sex with every woman that he works with under him. So they're all trash. The woman killed her husband. We know she did. Let's just call it a fact. Where is it? Where is the man? If she didn't kill him, where is it? But what was fascinating to me, they all have way too much money. They all have too much privilege. They're, collecting these wild animals because they can. And no one is stopping them. And what was fascinating to me with all of the backbiting, the fighting, the infighting, the double dealing, I'm eating and I have allergies. So that is why I'm coughing. I have a nice salad here and my homemade pizza. It was crazy to me how the federal government, the entire power of the federal government moved against this one gay guy to put him in jail when three straight men and a straight woman were all involved. They're all illegally keeping these wild animals. They're all breeding. They're all committing crimes. The three straight men who were helping Joe Exotic were all felons who were all colluding with each other and fighting each other. I know there's no honor among thieves, and that's why the punk with the red hair, what's his name, on the jet ski, who looks like a garbage pail kid, a garbage pail cabbage patch kid gone bad. He ratted Joe Exotic out, and now he's trying to rat out the other two guys because there is no honor among thieves, right? But I thought, wow, the federal government is getting informants, tapping phones, raiding complexes and compounds and doing all this stuff, hiring secret agents just to railroad a white gay guy into jail. The gay one, they make sure they put in federal prison for 22 years. But all the straight people get to walk free. If that ain't what the heteropatriarchy has in store for you, my white gays, I'm telling you, that's why I was mad at Pete Buttigieg and glad that he did not get the nomination. Because the heteropatriarchy, Buttigieg aspires to be that. Right? Everything that he does aspires to look straight, act straight, be in the military, be a soldier, speak 5 languages, all towards this hetero masculinity, toxic masculinity picture, right? It ain't what you want, gay people, gay fam. It ain't what we want. It's not progressive and it's not going to save us. I just found that fascinating. To me, it was a complete conviction of what America is, which is garbage, trash, white supremacy, toxic masculinity, guns. Joe Exotic is obsessed with guns and he hates the government and but it all turned against him in the end, didn't it? So I found that fascinating because the minority in the situation will always lose out. The minority in that situation was the gay person, right? Also found out though that there's even more oppressed minority under Joe, which was Saf, the trans male who kept getting misgendered by the news and by the documentary maker in the piece, the guy who had all this footage burn up. He kept dead naming Saf. She and her, Saf is a trans male. And everyone else was pretty careful, I noticed, because I watched it again to be sure. Everyone else is pretty careful to refer to Saf as Saf, except for this dickhead documentary maker of the Joe Exotic documentary, not of the whole thing for Netflix. He's the only one who kept calling Saf her. So, but whatever. Isn't that fascinating? Joe Exotic had white privilege, but he was also a faggot. So the heteropatriarchy came for him and put him in jail. Hello, children. So something I've realized, and it's something that I really knew down deep to my soul, but I was convinced by the zeitgeist, and you were too, and I think it's fair that things were changing. Being a black gay male, I didn't really believe it so much, but there were guideposts, signals, right? Gay marriage was passed. I can marry a man if I so choose. You know, the most educated person now is the black woman. Right, more black women have graduated from college than anybody else currently. But then when you look at the statistics that follow that, you dig down deep, you'll see that black women are still paid the least. So they're the most educated, but paid the least. So the rope-a-dope trick was, well, if you get an education, you get a good job. Well, black women have the education now, they're still getting paid the least because of racism and misogyny, right? So gay people can get married, great, yay, but then if you can, because there are people like Kim Davis, who, you know, your local licensor can deny you your marriage license, right? So homophobia still rules and still exists, right? So it's like we think we take 2 steps forward, but we really take 3 steps back in reality. And what really convinced me of this, I'm on a road trip headed back to Nashville today, back to teaching after my spring break. That was a working break, by the way. I went to a conference and networked for my students and really spent the break writing 2 essays, a paper I'm presenting at a conference. I think the end of this week, if the coronavirus, doesn't cancel the conference and render flight impossible. We'll see. Keep the fingers crossed. But in leaving today, I went into the gas station to gas up and, you know, had to use the restroom to clean off my coffee tumbler because the top of it had spilled onto the floor of the gas station. So I had to go into the restroom, the men's restroom, to wash my tumbler with soap and water and make sure it didn't have coronavirus on the tumbler now, right? So doing all that, I look up and I see
in front of me on the wall in the bathroom and says, gay slur coming, wanted fags only, black gangster thugs preferably for sex. And then another handwriting said for a good blowjob, text, and it had the actual number. And it made me smile. It actually brought me joy because I said, I'm so glad that gay bathroom hookup culture still exists. Because the zeitgeist would have you believe that since everyone's out in the open and since Pete Buttigieg is a thing, that gay people are just having sex everywhere and everything's out in the open now. Yet, John Crawford is a thing, right? Yet, Matthew Shepard is still a thing. Like, gay people are being murdered. Black trans women are being murdered in rates that are ever increasing. So what the zeitgeist will tell you is not exactly what's happening for real. So I was happy, in a way, that gay sex was happening, gay hookup culture was happening in bathrooms still, or at least connections were happening there still, because that is resistance, right? Minority communities have always found ways to exist and thrive and live underneath oppression. So since homophobia is real, and you can't, in some places still in America, and I'm, you know, leaving Kentucky today, you will still get looked at crazy holding a man's hand walking down the street. So gay marriage may be legal, but there are still places in this country, a lot of them actually, where if you hold a man's hand walking down the street, you are likely to be physically attacked. You will definitely have words hurled at you. You may be killed. You may be the next Matthew Shepard. So it made me happy to see that gay culture was still happening undercover, subversively, as a form of resistance. Like, I will have gay sex. Screw you. And it's a middle finger. But at the same time, it made me sad because it meant that, okay, well, these people still feel like they can't seek what they need and what they want publicly. Whoever wrote that is still in the closet. Right? They might be in a marriage that's failing, that they can't get out of, that they felt forced to go into because of homophobia. They may, whatever their situation is, they're not able to be out and have gay sex, they feel, publicly, not in public, but they're not able to walk around as an out gay person and inquire for romantic, go out on gay dates, right? Obviously, they feel that way, or they wouldn't be writing on bathroom walls for gay sex. So it made me really focus on the fact that, you know, we do kind of live in these cultural elite bubbles in New York, or a big city like Nashville, or Atlanta, or Chicago, or LA, where we think, oh, well, gay people are just out everywhere, and gay sex is, you know, possible everywhere. Well, that's not so. And I really realized that when I was on tour, on national tour, this was back in 2008, but as I see now, it's still the case. Honey, there are places in this country where Walmart is still the only store to shop at. There are places in this country that don't have Wi-Fi. There are places in this country where time has kind of stood still, and we're not on the same cultural level of existence or acceptance or tolerance or what have you. I hate that word tolerance, by the way, but because it means you're putting up with something, right? But the fact that, you know, we just went through a Democratic primary that had women as options and black people as options, and the final two options are still two old white men, tells us that we're not as far as we thought we were. And truth be told, I mean, minorities know this, women know this, black people know this, gay people know this, but the zeitgeist would tell you otherwise. So this is a long rant just to say that don't be fooled by the culture, don't be fooled by the zeitgeist.
COVID-19's coming for you, bitch. Capitalism? Hello?
COVID-19 is knocking at the door, coming for you, bitch. Ooh. Ooh, it's delicious. It's delicious how what the coronavirus, the particular strain of COVID-19 has done. And I'm not making light of the situation, though. I kind of am, but that's what minorities do because we live under oppression for so long that we have to make light of suffering or we die, right? Jews can make fun of the Holocaust, blacks can make fun of slavery, gays can make fun of Stonewall because that's, we're literally dying under these systems of oppression. So, you know, fuck you if you have a problem with me making fun of COVID-19. When this is over, I can walk outside and get shot by a white cop tomorrow. So, but anyway, back to my point about capitalism and COVID-19. What is so delicious about all of this is that it is revealing so many things. Not only one, about the failure of capitalism, and I'll go into that. Number two, how knowledge isn't wisdom. And I'll go into that. And number three, how just fucked up capitalism really is. So number one, my first point. Oh, it's early. Now I forgot my first point. What was my bullet point? Okay. The things that this is revealing about capitalism are thus. Capitalism only works when everything is fine. And when I say works, that's in, please see my air quotes. Capitalism, quote unquote, works for the 1% when everything is fine, right? When there's a pandemic or some kind of emergency, unfettered capitalism, I should say. We've been trying to do this weird jockeying where we take laissez-faire capitalism and then put some regulations on it. And it's like a thoroughbred that you put a governor on, right? Putting a governor on a Maserati, like how does that really work? It doesn't make any sense, and it hasn't really worked for a while, except for the 1%, right? So what COVID-19 has done, that's allergies. Don't get it twisted. It's allergy season. I cough every spring. Just started my Flonase. That'll be gone soon. What's interesting about this is that COVID-19 has shown us that if we are to practice social distancing and if we are to stay sequestered into our homes, that includes service workers, right? You see all of the elite, even the people that I love, like Gal Gadot and these celebrities making these stupid ass videos from their homes talking about, imagine all the people, like the very privileged talking about imagine, bitch, people are dying. But anyway, the privileged need DoorDash, right? The privileged right now are living off of delivery servers, Lyft drivers picking up their McDonald's and bringing them their fries and paleo diet or blue bonnet or whatever the fuck you're doing, whatever kind of food delivery system you're using, they're depending on the working poor class to deliver their goods and services, which is always how capitalism works, right? The rich live off the poor. What a pandemic does is say, wait a minute, but you don't want to go out to the stores, right? Because that's dangerous now under COVID-19. We've closed down all the stores because we're trying to flatten the curve. So then we have to give everybody money because nobody can go to work. We're going to have to suspend rent. It's like the benefits of socialism really start to appear when there's a global fucking pandemic. If nobody can go to work for the good of all because we're trying to flatten the infection rates, then the state has to step in and give everybody money so that everyone can live and everybody can survive, which is socialism, right? For the good of all. And we all pay taxes to the state, so why not do that, right? And then the rub to that, though, is the person delivering the shit to your door for you to eat, for you to live, delivering your 25 rolls of toilet paper and delivering your Clorox bleach wipes and delivering your Burger King, Pizza Hut, Panera, Spago, whatever the fuck you're eating. is going to be of that working class. You hope they had health care and they could wash their hands and they could afford all this shit so that their hands are clean. You hope they were able to afford hand sanitizer to hand you your bag or even to leave it on your doorstep, right? Do you see how capitalism fails? Do you see how when people don't have health care and they don't have affordable housing and they don't have access to, you know, soap and a shower and a house and things, and they're going to be dirty and probably have, might have been exposed to the coronavirus because they have to keep going to work. These essential workers, this leads to my point too, that coronavirus is sort of a, it's not sort of, a pandemic is a leveler, right? Right now, and my point about knowledge versus wisdom, right now your fry cook at Burger King who's delivering that small fry to your house, or your tofu cooker at whatever Asian restaurant, whatever food you eat. I don't know what the fuck you eat. Shut up. That fry cook is just as valuable to you as the surgeon at Vanderbilt. They're the same. They're both in the service industry. And I've been saying this, you know, people pay the surgeon, you know, what, $100,000 a year, $125,000 a year. What do surgeons make? $100 an hour, $500 an hour? I don't know. Something up there. Something crazy, right? Because they have a highly specialized skill. Your fry cook right now has the same highly specialized skill. It is the same to you. You need food delivered to your house. And if you get near death, if you develop a fever, you need to have a surgeon at the hospital. They are equalized now thanks to coronavirus. Your Lyft delivery driver is just as vital to your health and sustenance as your surgeon with a scalpel. They're the same. And that's what trouble does. It levels us and really makes us realize, wait a minute, both are providing of essential service. They're both essential workers, right? The people who have to go to work are nurses, doctors, sanitation workers, another individual who's just as important to you, right? We have to have the garbage taken away or we will have filth and disease and carrion and, you know, that will increase what viruses can feed off of, right? So we have to have the garbage taken away. So your garbage man is also just as important, just as vital to you as that surgeon at Johns Hopkins. Okay? That small fry delivered to your door is just as essential to you as the ventilator at the hospital. It is all the same. And that's what pandemics do. That's what emergency does, is it levels everything to the same level. We all are important, and every single individual matters, right? And if you try to fucking turn this into All Lives Matter, I'm gonna cut your throats. That's not what I'm saying in that context, because that's about systems. All Lives Matter in this way, the way that's usually said, is trying to silence the voice of people uplifting Black lives that have been oppressed by white supremacy, right? If you want to say All Lives Matter in this context, you can say it with the understanding that that's what pandemics do, is say, well, look, now you're oppressed too, bitch. It takes away, that's why I'm laughing at the beginning of this. Pandemics take away your privilege in some form, right? We still have levels of privilege right now. It's not like COVID-19 made the poor suddenly rich. You know, the rich are still shut up in their houses. And I have privilege right now. I have been blessed with a job that affords me the ability to work from home, which is, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, only about 17 to 20% of the population can work from home. Most of America is the service industry, which is now unemployed, right? And this one-time check that the government is giving people is not going to work. They're going to have to issue another one. Folks, this is for the long haul, okay? It's going to take a year for a vaccine to be made. We're going to be doing this for months. So buckle the fuck in. and enjoy the collapse of capitalism. Okay? And that's why I was laughing, is that this is really an example of how capitalism cannot handle trouble. Capitalism can only exist in the status quo. And that's why it's always trying to uphold the status quo. Capitalism resists change because change upsets the imbalance of power. And that's what COVID-19 has done. And that's what I find delicious. And that's why I'm laughing, because the high have been made low and the low have been made equal to the high. It's very biblical. Like that's what plagues do. That's what plagues do. Like, that's what AIDS did. The richest person can get AIDS and the poorest person can get AIDS and you both will die. Now, because of systemic oppression, the rich person might die in a high rise while the poor person, I'm talking about in the 80s, now AIDS is a manageable disease, once again, if you have money and access to drugs. But in the beginning of the crises, it didn't matter how much fucking money you had. We didn't know what to do with it. And if you were poor, you died. If you were rich, you died, period. And we're actually seeing that now with COVID-19, right? It's hurting everybody. Like, the first reports were saying, oh, well, only if you're a senior citizen or only if you're a child, you're vulnerable. We're seeing 20-year-olds die. We're seeing 30-year-olds die. We're seeing 20, 30, 40, 50-year-olds die. Google it. You can find a death from COVID-19, multiple deaths from COVID-19, in every age bracket. It depends on if you are immunocompromised and also how much privilege you have, right? Because if you're immunocompromised, there are a lot of people who are immunocompromised. That's not a small part of the population. You know, if you have severe allergies, you're immunocompromised. If you have any kind of chronic disease, you're immunocompromised, right? You could be anemic, but be a marathon runner and be 25 and be immunocompromised, right? The majority of this country has type 2 diabetes. So in that case, everybody who has type 2 diabetes is immunocompromised. You know, so, and those are the things people don't think about. When they hear immunocompromised, they think, oh, cancer, AIDS, 80-year-old on a ventilator already in a nursing home. No, your coworker who's 30 and runs marathons could be immunocompromised. Who is the picture of health, who has, you know, 8-pack abdominal muscles, 30-inch waist, thighs of steel, and it looks like Superman. That person can be immunocompromised, right? And what a pandemic does is it levels all of that shit. So anyway, my point is just that I think it's fascinating how this virus is really showcasing us, showcasing for us and to us the gaping holes in capitalism, how it doesn't work. For everybody. It still only works for the 1%. And what Corona is saying, what she's saying, girl, is that I'm coming for all of you bitches. I'm coming for white supremacy. I'm coming for rich people. I'm coming for everybody. What is that? It is real biblical, because there's a scripture in the Bible that I love that says the rain falls on the just and the unjust, and Corona is going to kill the just and the unjust. What I'm seeing, though, that is bothering me already, though, is that we know already that the aid will be applied unevenly. I'm sure the very richest of people got into the hospitals first and are on the ventilators. And it's probably the people in a lower tax bracket who are the people in the hospital who are sitting in the hallways. I'm just saying. Pretty sure that's how that's breaking down. The pictures we're seeing in New York. But I hope you're also looking at the body bags that are being carted into 18-wheelers because the morgue is full. Okay? So, look at the leveling. Practice your social distancing. And for the love of God, take care. So it's 2020 in the year of our Lord quarantine, and I was just having a text conversation with a dear friend in another state, and what we were talking about was this, how we were coping. We were texting back and forth about our different coping mechanisms, and it turns out we're both doing like all of the regular things, right? We're binging on Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Prime, and we're doing yoga and Pilates and walking outside and running for miles, walking for miles, like making sure we get up a good sweat. We're trying to eat well. We're eating bad. We're eating salt. We're eating, high foods that are bad for us and foods that are good for us. We're FaceTiming and we're Zooming and we're Instagram living and Insta storying and direct messaging people, and we're doing all the things, right? We're reading books, we're writing in journals, we're podcasting like I am right now. We're doing all of these things. And he texted me, and it just doesn't feel the same. Like, it doesn't feel like it's enough. And there's, he said, it's like I'm pulling a rock on a rope. And I went right to Sisyphus. You know, that great Greek myth of the original king of Corinth who was punished by Zeus for his deceit and constant trickery, making the gods look foolish, punished to roll a rock up a hill for all eternity to have it run back down the hill again, and just a futile effort. And often it feels like in the year of our Lord quarantine, we're just doing all the things, and those of us who are privileged to work, we're working, but we're doing all these things to self-medicate and to cope, and phone calls with family members and friends and text messages, and all those things help. But there's still this mild sense of dread. You know, you can't go outside for too long, and the National Institute of Health and the World Health Organization and the Centers for Disease Control and aerologists and biologists and virologists really can't decide on really whether or not COVID-19 is spread through droplets or whether it's airborne and spread through aerosol, and how far it can travel before the bacteria drops, and how long it will live on surfaces, and all of these things are really up in the air. If you listen to Vox Media's podcast Reset, you'll hear the latest data on that, and it's really up in the air. So, you know, you're putting on a mask to go outside, and you see people not social distancing, and people are social distancing and jockeying to make sure we're 6 feet away from people, and it's just a lot. It's a lot. So what the conversation with my friend really led me to think about is, you know, at first I was so angry about people constantly Instagram living every 5 seconds. And if you, you know, sign into Instagram, you will see continuously popping up on your screen, so-and-so's going live, and this person's going live, and that person's going live, and it gets to be annoying, but they're coping the best they can. We are all Sisyphus pushing this rock up this hill, and it's going to roll back down today, and it's going to roll back down tomorrow, and it's going to roll back down for 6 to 8 months until we have a vaccine. And that's really what we're looking at, people. We're looking at minimum 6 months, the best scientists say, before we can have a vaccine. So we're going to have to keep this up for 6 to 8 months, maybe a year. It could be 12 before we have a vaccine that works. We will have one. So eventually we can stop pushing this rock up this hill. That's the blessing. But until then, you got to keep doing your work, and you got to feed your kids, and you got to entertain yourself so you don't go insane. You've got to work out. You've got to eat well, and you've got to keep doing what you do to keep your sanity. So, fuck it. I say fuck it. Instagram live. Do what you need to do that is not self-harming, right, or harming other people, to feed yourself spiritually, emotionally, sexually, socially, like whatever you need to do. that is not going to hurt you or others. Do it to get through this pandemic in the year of our Lord quarantine. That's all we got. Take care. The great flood has spoken.